To our next case, Madden v. Rolls-Royce. Mr. Waterfell.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court, my name is Mark Waterfell. I am an attorney with Dan Picard Newman & Kleiman in Indianapolis, representing the plaintiff appellant, Master Sergeant Rick Madden. I would like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal. Master Sergeant Rick Madden served his country for over 20 years in the Air Force Reserves.
Now, the problem I have with your case is you've got this terrible resume padding and misrepresentation and bad work for Rolls-Royce. I don't see how you get around that.
Well, Your Honor, there was not resume padding. There are disputes of fact with respect to the resume.
I don't have the degree.
Under the McKinnon case, Judge, this is
false. I mean, it's fraud, actually.
Not at all, Judge. This is after acquired evidence. And under the McKinnon case,
what difference does that make?
This is
fraud.
It certainly is not, Judge. This evidence was not discovered, and it's actually more applicable to the DS&S side of the case. It was not discovered by DS&S in 2005 when they were interviewing him. And for the trial court judge to dismiss this case on summary judgment.
They do check people's backgrounds and so on.
But it's rank speculation.
They would have discovered that he had, that he, his previous work for Rolls-Royce had been bad, and that he's misrepresented his grades and his degrees and all that, and he's a dropout.
Your Honor,
he doesn't have an engineering degree.
I would respectfully submit to you that it is rank speculation to say
he doesn't have an engineering degree. He shouldn't be making parts for airplanes.
And Your Honor, he was not telling people that he had an engineering degree. The headhunters were amplifying his resume and sending those
out. Come on, who can believe that?
Well, Your Honor, those are the facts. And not only that,
headhunter falsifies the person's resume.
Well, Mr. Madden was an engineer. He was hired at Rolls-Royce. The word engineer is the word engineer is not like the word attorney, Your Honor. And for the Air Force Reserves for over 20 years, he had the title flight engineer. At Rolls-Royce in 2003, he had the title engineer. They use that term loosely. And so there are many individuals
in engineering work and he couldn't do it.
He could do it, Judge, and the evidence that he was a poor performer is post hoc rationalization.
I don't understand you. He was a poor performer.
Judge, Mr. Savin did not tell Mr. Madden at all that he was a poor performer. After the fact, after the lawsuit is filed, Rolls-Royce comes up with, oh, well, I'm going to look back over these blueprints, and I'm going to say, oh, this blueprint wasn't done correctly, blueprint.
That's pure speculation.
Judge, it is not speculation.
Back up. Did he tell them he had a degree from Purdue?
No, Your Honor.
He didn't?
He did not. But
why
there,
did he say he did?
There were headhunters who would amplify his.
Did he say that he had a graduate degree from Purdue?
I believe that there is a resume in the record and that it was his testimony that these headhunters placed that. Now, he was in a dispute with Purdue.
Wait. He was in a dispute. That's
yes.
He was in a dispute with Purdue.
He was.
But there was the dispute was one-sided. They didn't give him a degree. They threw him out because he was grades were deficient. Am I correct?
Actually, Judge, we submitted a diploma
he had a professor who gave him a letter saying he should have gotten a degree.
That's right.
Well, that is not getting a degree.
And Your Honor, under the McKinnon case, it is speculation for anyone to say.
One thing is not speculation, that was a lie. That's not a speculation.
According to Purdue, years later, after the lawsuit is filed.
According to Purdue, he didn't graduate from Purdue, and that's the only place you can go to find out whether he did graduate from Purdue.
If I may, Your Honor.
They can't change their mind, decide they didn't give him one or did give him one.
If I may.
Either got it or he didn't.
If I may, Your Honor, one item that is undisputed is Mr. Kloos's email, in which he questions Mr. Madden, and how is it that you are going back on military service? I thought you were retiring from the military. This is intentional discrimination. We have direct evidence of intentional discrimination that is in violation of USERRA.
The problem is, if he wouldn't have been hired anyway, if he and the headhunters had told the truth, then he's not entitled to any remedy.
Your Honor, that is standing McKinnon on its ear, because the United States Supreme Court has said this goes to damages. It does not go
no damages,
to liability.
So what's the suit?
There is the suit because it's clear discrimination. He was essentially hired. He was given a job offer.
What do you want, attorney's fees or something?
Well, not only attorney fees, but also back pay and damages.
Damages.
It's to say, for anyone to say, DS&S would have found out about the Purdue diploma problem is dreaming, is making that up. It is not certain.
Had they known he didn't have a degree, would they have hired him?
I that's rank speculation as well, Judge. We believe yes.
I am trying to figure out why you think this is an after-acquired evidence case like McKenna, because the record certainly indicates that both Rolls-Royce and DSS had developed concerns about Mr. Madden before his military service became an issue.
Well, with respect to DS&S, it was his military service that created an issue. And also with respect to Rolls-Royce.
Well, DSS was having difficulties confirming his credentials even before Mr. Madden raised the issue of being recalled to active duty. And that's why they decided to make his hiring temporary.
That is something that a jury should decide.
Doesn't that tend to support their claim that they ultimately would not have hired him regardless of his military status?
No, Your Honor. We believe that both Mr. Savin and Mr. Kloos reflected animus against individuals in the military, which is very despicable for companies involved in military subcontracting.
It's plausible also.
It is not at all. Mr. Kloos said, I want to see your orders. He then, in the next few days, said, well, since we have to lay someone off, we might as well lay you off, Rick. Then they had a big closing party for him, and Mr. Kloos said, you're welcome back any time, but he wasn't. He wasn't welcome back. When he asked to come back, he was not allowed to come back at Rolls-Royce where he was working. There was not any write-ups of his work at Rolls-Royce. There is only Mr. Savin's post hoc statement that, oh, I disciplined Rick verbally at one point, but he has no written documentation to show that.
But that happened before Madden announced that he was being activated for military duty.
According to Mr. Savin.
Well, Savin left a voicemail. We've got the voicemail for Mason.
I believe
at CDI indicating that he, Mr. Savin, had decided to terminate Madden's employment due to poor performance. Surely that should be enough to satisfy Rolls-Royce's burden.
Not at all, Your Honor. I do not believe they recorded the voicemail. He states he left a voicemail, which after having been confronted by Mr. Madden, you can't ask me for my military orders and then lay me off. Then Mr. Savin starts looking, let's look more closely at what he did. May 7th, 2003, Mr. Savin asked Mr. Madden for his orders. The discriminatory conduct was after that. Mr. Madden should have been reinstated by Rolls-Royce. And, of course, Your Honor, we have abundant case law in the Seventh Circuit that we liberally construe USERRA provisions in the veteran's favor. We submit that a reasonable jury will not find that this was resume fraud, nor will a reasonable jury find that Savin should have been terminated anyway.
Why do you think that a reasonable jury won't find that this was that this was not resume fraud?
Assume for a moment it is, Your Honor. Assume that it is resume fraud. Under McKinnon, that's what McKinnon relates to.
Resume,
absolutely, which is not discovered until later. And this was not discovered until my able opposing counsel, just before the summary judgment deadline, deposes Purdue years later.
There's a difference between digging into a person's history and finding something that might have caused a firm not to hire him, and something as blatant as this.
I would submit to Your Honor that that is a distinction that is not available to us.
But suppose you had a situation in which someone pretends to be a test pilot, but actually doesn't know how to fly, and he manages to wangle a job, and then they fire him, and you say fire him because of, you know, discrimination. But do you think a person like that can get damages?
Very, very doubtful, Your Honor. There would have to be incredible direct evidence. This is a case where the direct evidence
enough
of animus against a veteran is reflected. I would conclude by stating, Your Honor, that this case should be reversed and remanded, and Mr. Madden, Sergeant Madden, should be allowed to have a jury trial.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Waterfill. Mr. Shelton?
Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is Brandon Shelton, counsel for both Rolls-Royce and DS&S.
I ask something before you start, so I can get it out of my brain? Is it true that Mr. Savin told Mr. Madden that he was welcome back to Rolls-Royce at any time?
Mr. Savin has no recollection of that statement. For purposes of summary judgment, we will not dispute that that statement was made.
Well, but if you're not disputing it, doesn't... I mean, that contradicts Rolls-Royce's contention that it was discharging him solely based on his poor work performance.
Well, I think the important thing to realize, Your Honor, is that Mr. Madden was never discharged. Yes, the decision was made. It was made before Rolls-Royce knew about the fact that he was going to go on military duty. And so they made that decision. But nonetheless, Mr. Madden worked until he left for military duty. In fact, when he returned from military duty, CDI, the temporary contract provider, made up the difference between his pay. And so with respect to his termination claim against Rolls-Royce, with respect to him being discharged, there was never an adverse employment action. And if you look at the appellate briefs filed by counsel, they did not argue the reinstatement claim. So the only issue before this court is whether or not Rolls-Royce unlawfully discharged him. While the decision had been made, it had never been implemented. In fact, he was allowed to work until he left for military duty, and the difference in his compensation was made up upon his return.
And some of the other things that came up during opposing counsel's statement is, you know...
But if he was doing such a wretched job, why did you... let him continue working.
It was a matter of days, Your Honor.
But, you know, like it takes 10 minutes to put the wrong screw into the wrong airplane.
I'm not sure that Judge Rover ever worked in an airplane factory, neither did I, but was he working by himself?
He was not working by himself. In fact, that was one of the problems that came up with respect to his performance. Mr. Madden's job was to create these routing sheets that would basically explain the process that would go into making a certain part. Mr. Savin received repeated complaints during Mr. Madden's employment that, hey, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. He's actually directing us to make parts in a way that's physically impossible for the machines. And we also can't lose sight of the fact that Mr. Madden was just a temporary employee. He only worked there for 12 weeks. And so this is not someone that's been employed there for a long time that you're going to come and give a lot of counseling and corrective actions to. He was worked there for 12 weeks. His performance was very poor. The decision was made to let him go. He announced that he was leaving for military duty.
So they
left.
They just let him write it out.
It was a matter of 2 or 3 days, Judge. And the record reflects that by this point, there was not enough work to keep him or the engineer that worked performed better than him employed. So quite frankly, for that couple of days, he simply wasn't doing very much.
Guys, like having a vice president to look out the window. Just to stand there and don't bother anybody.
That's a good comparison, Judge. You know, one of the other discussions...
I'm famous for brilliant comparison.
going back to this issue of resume fraud, there is documented evidence that took place of email exchanges, conversations, well before any litigation ensued, that Mr. Savin, the guy that he worked for at Rolls-Royce, realized, like, hey, this guy does not have a degree as he claims. In fact, in a subsequent job that Mr. Savin applied to, Mr. Savin received a phone call saying, like, hey, what can you tell me about this guy? And the notes from that conversation reflect, hey,
look at his resume closely, he's not an engineer, as his resume implies. And there's also been this discussion with respect, you know, who put the fact that he had a degree on his resume. Mr. Madden testified repeatedly during his deposition that he graduated from Purdue. I specifically asked him during his deposition, does anything unique about your Purdue experience stand out? Did you have any arguments with him? Initially, his testimony was no, until he was asked about a lawsuit that he had filed several years ago that's been dismissed. So his own sworn testimony is, I have a degree. And so if you look at the chronology of the case with respect to Rolls-Royce, he lied to get the degree, lied to get the job. Not surprisingly, once he got in there and it was determined that he was not an engineer, he performed poorly. They receive multiple complaints. They make the decision to terminate his employment. This takes place before they know about his military duty. He continues for those few days until he leaves for military duty. He comes back. And so even if he could show that Rolls-Royce discriminated against him for some unlawful reason, he cannot rebut the undisputed fact that he was a poor performer. In fact, he does not dispute the fact that he was a poor performer and that Mr. Assay, the other performance engineer, performed better. So based on that, I would say that I would ask that the summary judgment decision with respect to Rolls-Royce be sustained. And then moving to DS&S, the timing of the DS&S case is significant. Once again, Mr. Madden provided a resume to DS&S requesting a job that fraudulently claimed that he had a degree. Based on that resume and two interviews with Mr. Kluss, they decided that he is the leading candidate. Unfortunately, after that, they simply cannot verify his references. Mr. Kluss received negative information regarding Mr. Madden's performance at Rolls-Royce. Based on that, they decide to hire him through a temporary contract provider that offers a contingent employment offer that specifically states that your employment is contingent upon a background check, which includes checking your background, your educational credentials. At some point, on May 23rd, 2005, Mr. Kluss is already becoming frustrated with the problems and challenges they're having verifying Mr. Madden's background. He's already interviewing people before the email that opposing counsel likes to make so much of. Mr. Madden sends the email. Mr. Kluss's response, it's not evidence of discriminatory animus. These are legitimate questions for someone that's trying to fill a job. What is your availability? I need to know so I can make sure that I adjust appropriately to have someone in this job. Mr. Madden never responded to that email. And so, not surprisingly, they continue interviewing other candidates. The candidate that eventually gets the job, Mr. Hankins, what do? They go and verify his employment background. Not only does he have an engineering degree, but he also has a degree in math. He graduated cum laude. At magna cum laude. So that shows that had they continued with the hiring process of Mr. Madden, this misrepresentation of his education would have been discovered, so he would be in the same position that he would never work for Rolls-Royce. And so not only is Mr. Madden unable to establish his prima facie case, but I think it's also clear that DS&S has established its affirmative defense that even if there was a discriminatory animus, the same thing would have happened anyway. And based on that, I would ask that the summary judgment decision from the district court be upheld.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Shelton. And your time had expired, Mr. Waterfill, so we'll move on to our next case. United